faithful. It's got my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. You may be wondering some things about Barah Ministries, like who is the God we worship, and what is our source of truth, and who is our enemy? And we're always happy to begin each lesson by answering these questions. Forgetting. In our last lesson, guest speaker Al Gleason taught us about the power of remembering. Just as important as the power of remembering is the power of forgetting. God is great at forgetting, and he wants us to be great at forgetting too. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul instructs us. He says, "Brethren," that's fellow believers in Christ, "I, Paul, do not regard myself as having laid hold of spiritual maturity yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead," Philippians 3:14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God the Father for those of us in union with Christ Jesus." Forgetting. What is it that the Lord wants us to forget? He wants us to forget our own sins. If he forgets our sins, why wouldn't we? He paid for those sins at the cross. Well, we don't forget our sins because people keep reminding us of our mistakes. Is there anything compassionate or enlightening about that? The Lord wants us to forget our sorrows, our suffering, our grief, and our pain because he's here for us and he holds us in the palm of his hand. He wants us to forget injustices, whether you're a woman or whether you're black or whether you're Mexican or whether you're a minority or any of the other demeaning terms that the world uses to describe you. He wants us to forget those injustices. He wants us to forget our spiritual failures, and there are many. So we come to Bible study to let the truth of God's word erase from our memories all of the negative thoughts and the negative things that impede our spiritual progress. Well, who is the God we worship at Barah Ministries? We worship a triune Godhead. There's one God who reveals himself to mankind as three beings who are separate, distinct, co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. People always describe the triune Godhead as a mystery. It's not a mystery. And it's not confusing at all why God did that, because human history is a court case. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in the courtroom against Satan. And in a court case, you need two or three witnesses. Well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the two or three witnesses that are clearly able to tell exactly what happened in the angelic realm when Satan convinced all of the angels to turn against God. God the Father is the author of the triune Godhead's plan for all creatures. And even though we offend God the Father with sin, he is a perfect forgetter. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 say this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Forget about it. Ephesians 4:32, "Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God the Father, through your union with Christ, also has forgiven you. Forgiveness is forgetting. Forgiveness is one of the ways for you to be in control, because if you require something from somebody else, they're not going to give it to you. And so forgiving them releases you from the thought that somehow somebody's going to pay you back for an injustice. God the Son, the Lord, volunteered to execute God the Father's plan, taking on human form as Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah. Jesus Christ is God. Our Lord is great at forgetting. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, the Lord, even I am the one who forgets your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Boy, remembering the sins of 7 billion people here on the planet would be a tall task, wouldn't it? If the Lord forgets your sins, then you can too. Of course, that's not a license to sin, and no one with a grain of sense would think so. Well, there's only one way to heaven. If you invest your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to save you, he will save you. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you instantly have the resurrection life, eternal life in his name. We worship God the Holy Spirit. He is our mentor and teacher. He is a guide who is the rudder of the Christian's life. He's fully God, equal in every way to God the Father and God the Son. He is a person. He is not a ghost, as some like to call him. Well, after the rebellion of angelic creatures, where all the angels turned on the Lord and fell, God the Holy Spirit was willing to forget. He restored the planet. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, not a beginning. And why is it not a beginning? Because God has no beginning and no ending. In the beginning, not a beginning, God the Son, the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, created, and the word created in Hebrew is bara, to speak something into existence from nothing. That's why we call this bara ministries. In the beginning, not a beginning, God the Son, the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, 2, but the earth became formless and void. Why? Because God was upset and he shut down the planet. The earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And God the Holy Spirit was moving over the surface of the waters, forgetting the rebellion of angelic creatures and restoring the planet. There's the first act of forgiveness. The first act of redemption, the first act of reconciliation. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ have a power team that is always on their side, a team specializing in the impossible, a team you can call on for help in times of trouble. Well, what is our source of truth at Barah Ministries? The Bible is the Word of God, and as such, it is our source of absolute truth. As Christians, we develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Godhead, and we get to know God as a person through studying the Word of God. The Word of God heals the hurts of our lives with the truth. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word, Lord, keeps on being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What is your source of truth? Your source of truth for eternal matters is not an insignificant thing, because it has eternal consequences. The Bible is a supernatural work breathed into human writers by God. It doesn't come from man, and it provides the only source of absolute truth about eternal things. And since the Bible is the Lord's exact thinking, and since God is right all the time, the Bible is right all the time. It contains no errors, no contradictions. You can trust the Bible as your source of truth. At Barah Ministries, we teach the Bible from God's perspective, not from man's perspective, because we refuse to teach as doctrinal truth the very fallible precepts of men. The best thing you can do for yourself every day is to spend time reading, studying, and reflecting on God's Word. And I wonder if you do that. Schedule time to study and let God's Word set the direction for your day. Why? Because the Bible changes your mind. Who is our enemy at Barah Ministries? God has an enemy, Satan, whom God made the ruler of this world for a finite period. He is the enemy of the believer in Christ as well. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says this, "Then I, John, heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and Father and the authority of his Christ, the Jewish Messiah, have come. For Satan, the accuser of our brethren, has been thrown down from heaven.'" Satan, who accuses believers in Christ before our God day and night. We have a bright future as Christians, because one day Satan's going to be thrown down to the earth. And after he's thrown down to the earth and thrown out of heaven, he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that will be a glorious day, which I hope we can see. Satan doesn't want anyone to forget our flaws, not even God. But the Lord's having none of it. He paid for our sins at the cross, and the matter is settled. The biggest enemy of believers in Christ, then, is ignorance of the enemy. Don't be ignorant. Today's Bible lesson, God calls church-age believers to evangelize the Jews. God calls church-age believers to evangelize the Jews. Salvation is easy. And once we are gifted with salvation, what does God want us to do? He wants us to teach others the easy way to salvation. In today's lesson, we'll learn how salvation is shared with others in our periphery and obeying the Lord's command. As we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. At the cross, the Lord taught us a valuable lesson, acceptance. And it's worthwhile to learn the value of acceptance. Get your bread and wine ready, settle in, and join us for this monthly celebration of remembrance. Well, let's hear some music. June Murphy says God is a perfect forgetter in her song, "He Remembers to Forget."
No one's kept from heaven because of their sins. Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world, all you need is to believe. God wants none to perish, your sins aren't a memory. Never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, He remembers, He remembers, He remembers to forget. God is ever faithful. Our God cannot lie. When stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide. 'Cause God keeps His promises, all that He has made. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly say, He remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, He remembers, He remembers, He mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ. of life. Deeds will be evaluated to see if they're done in the light. No good deed of the unsaved gets them to heaven.
Her little group together yet to gather them around a Barah Ministries lesson and let them hear her sing. That'd be pretty fun, huh? Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for making salvation so easy. Thanks especially for giving us salvation when we were your enemies. Thank you for demonstrating true compassion and unconditional love. Thank you for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us on a cross, shedding blood as the perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins, satisfying your need for justice in a way only He could. Help us to demonstrate the same compassion for those we love and for those we don't. And help us be ready in every moment as you provide us with divine appointments to share the gospel message, the good news, concerning how easy it is to be saved. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, God calls church-age believers to evangelize to the Jews. God calls church-age believers to evangelize to the Jews. Well, we continue our study of the Apostle Paul's letter to the believers in Christ in first century Rome and to believers in Christ throughout the generations in chapter 10. We're eternally grateful that the Lord picked such an imperfect person to share the gospel message so that all would know that our goodness is not what gets us saved. I was reading some things about our president-elect Donald Trump this week, and the whole conversation was about whether he was good or bad. How can he be a Christian when he's bad? And then they list out his sins. And I was asking the buddy of mine that did it, you know, how would you like to make your sins public? Now he engages in homosexuality. How would it be if I just started bagging on him on social media and telling everybody about his sins? And it's kind of sad that that's the way people treat each other. And so the whole conversation was who's good and who's bad. We're all bad, according to the Lord. There's no creature who's righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall dramatically short of the glory of God. So it's not being good that saves us at all. It's what the Lord did for us by gifting us with salvation that really matters. So we're eternally grateful that the Lord picked such an imperfect person like Paul to let us know we don't have to be perfect. And picked Paul to share the gospel message so that all would know that our goodness is not what gets us saved. It's the Lord's goodness toward us that saves us. He was good enough to pay the penalty for our sin, so we wouldn't have to. And all he asks is that we place our confidence in him without any work. Salvation is easy. If you remember the movie The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, you'll remember his son telling an interesting story. He said, "Dad, there was a man who was drowning, and a boat came. And the man on the boat said, 'Do you need help?' And the man said, 'No, thank you. God will save me.' And then another boat came and tried to help, but the man said, 'No, thank you. God will save me.' And then the man drowned and went to heaven. And the man asked God, 'Why didn't you save me?' And God said, 'I sent you two boats, you big dummy.'" Salvation is easy. Very easy. Let's remember how easy it is by remembering the first passage of Romans chapter 10 in the New Living Translation, verses 1 to 11. They say this. Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters," that's believers in Christ, "the longing of my heart and my prayer to God the Father is for the people of Israel, the Jews, to be saved." When you don't have control over a person in your life's situation, which you never do, pray for them, as Paul is doing here. Now Paul tells us what not to do. Romans 10:2. "I know the enthusiasm of the Jews for God, but it is misdirected zeal." Romans 10:3. "They don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. And refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the Mosaic law." Romans 10:4. "But Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the Mosaic law was given." And the Mosaic law was given to illuminate the fact that we are sinners who need a Savior. "As a result, all who believe in him only through faith are made right with God." Romans 10:5. "For Moses writes that the Mosaic law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands, which no one has done except the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 10:6. "But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth." Romans 10:7. "And don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again." Salvation is not that hard. All right, so here's what to do. Romans 10:8. "Faith's way of getting right with God says the gospel message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and it's in your heart." God puts the truth of the good news of the gospel message inside of us. And then he sends messages from the outside of us so that it's so close to us. And the message is the very message about the faith that we are preaching. Romans 10:9. "That if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, that he is deity, and if you believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Romans 10:10. "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Romans 10:11. "And the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ will never be disgraced, will never be put to shame." Well, today's short passage is a continuation of the previous passage, Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 15 in the New Living Translation. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all, capital A-L-L, who call on him. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Romans 10:14, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" Romans 10:15, "And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news." All right, so let's study this passage verse by verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. "Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Why is salvation easy? Because God is not willing for any to perish, but wants all to come to repentance, to a change of mind about having a relationship with Christ. With God, there is no favoritism. There's no Jew and there's no Gentile. There's no male and there's no female. There is no slave and there is no free. There's no social distinction, no racial distinction, no gender distinction with God. No one is excluded from the opportunity to be saved, but you know it does not work that way in Satan's kingdom. He is always making gender and sex and social status an issue. The Lord says the only way for you to be forgiven is if I take your punishment. This is the only way for you to be saved. It's an exclusive path, and that's what Satan says. Oh, well, there's only one way to be saved? Yes, there's only one way to be saved. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in him. There's only one way to be saved. It's an exclusive path, but it is an inclusive invitation. And see, what Satan is inferring is that it's not an inclusive invitation. But he conveniently overlooks the words, whosoever, and all, and everyone can be saved. God made an easy way for all mankind to be right with him. And it's not a works-based path. The Lord Jesus Christ did the work. He laid down his life for us. Salvation depends on God. And it's only a prayer away. God doesn't want you to climb to heaven, nor does he want you to descend to hell to bring God to a place where he can save you. The Lord can save you right where you sit right now with no work on your part. And all he wants from you is a simple prayer of request. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It is so simple, even a caveman could do it. Amen? Christianity is for responders, not for initiators. God built men as initiators and women as responders. That is not how Christianity works. God is the initiator, and creatures are the responders. So Christianity is for responders, not for initiators. Those who initiate want to do the work to save themselves. Those who respond simply follow the Lord's direction. And how simple is that? We're offered eternal life by God, and we simply accept that invitation. How easy is salvation? You have two choices, be saved or perish. That's it. The doubters ask, is it really easy to be saved by the Lord? They ask because they've been filled with religious nonsense that makes salvation seem complicated. My buddy that I was talking about, he's throwing around all these terms, evangelicals, the religious right. I've never seen any of that in the Bible. That's just all made up crap from people here on earth who want to help God and think that the descriptions of Christianity in the Bible aren't good enough. They're good enough. They're plenty good enough. We don't need any other terms. Well, what kind of church are you the pastor of? A non-denominational church? I don't have the slightest idea what a denomination is. And I certainly don't understand what a non-denominational church is. No, we're a Christian church and we teach the Bible verse by verse. Is it simple enough for you? Because that's how simple it is for us. Amen? So, Christianity, salvation, not complicated. The Apostle Paul asks four rhetorical questions next to stimulate the thinking of the doubters. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. But how can they call on the Lord to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Romans 10:15, the first part, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Well, the questions are interesting in sequence. Believe, hear, get told by a preacher. The sequence is backward. What do unbelievers need? They need a preacher who's familiar with the gospel message. They need the preacher to tell them the message. They need to hear what the preacher says, and they need to believe. Simple faith invested in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So Paul asked those questions in reverse sequence. Well, the result, when you follow that simple sequence, justification by faith, a full pardon from God. Your bag of sins is exchanged for God's righteousness on request. Amen? Hear me. Your bag of sins is exchanged for God's righteousness on request. How cool is that? God expects church-age believers to share the gospel message with those in our periphery, and especially the Jews. You don't have to be a Bible expert to evangelize. The message is simple. Well, the problem? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. At the moment of physical birth, we are imputed with Adam's original sin, which means we are spiritually dead, physically alive and spiritually dead. The wages of sin, spiritual death. How did God solve the problem? In unconditional love for sinners, God the Father sent his Son to solve the problem. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do to solve the problem? He was crucified. He shed his blood as payment for our sins. He experienced the wrath of God the Father for us. He died on a cross. He was buried. He was resurrected from the dead. And he offers salvation to whosoever. So don't complicate the gospel message. Evangelism is an opportunity provided by God. He wants us to listen to unbelievers, to follow God's prompts. That's God the Holy Spirit giving you the words. He wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to think about those around us that we are concerned with. And he wants us to get over our trepidation. If you're an extrovert or you're an introvert, it doesn't matter. God will give you the words. For the extroverts, he'll give you fewer words because you talk too much. For the introverts, he'll give you more words because you don't talk enough. God uses us to save souls from eternal demise. Romans chapter 10, verse 15 is the praise for assisting God in the salvation of souls. It says this, that is why scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news of the gospel message. God is calling on church-age believers to evangelize to the Jews. The Lord is calling them to freedom. He's calling you to evangelize. Will you come? Pretty ironic that we had that as our homecoming subject, huh? Pretty ironic that Pastor John Farley is having Rich Freeman come down and talk to his congregation. Rich Freeman is a Messianic Jew, and he's going to talk about how to evangelize to the Jews, and I think he's going to be there on December 8th. So that might be something good for you to tune into. Well, when we return from the break, we'll take the offering, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Take a 5-minute break.
to trust Him, free to obey, freedom to praise Him, free to live His way, free from sin slavery, free from the night, freedom to follow, free to bask in His light. He's calling you to freedom. Will you come? By faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, will you come? To no more condemnation, will you come? His cross bought your freedom. Will you come? He's calling you to freedom. He's calling you to freedom. Will you come? He's calling you to freedom. He's calling you to freedom. He's calling you to freedom. Will you
Bible lesson, God calls church-age believers to evangelize to the Jews. God calls church-age believers to evangelize to the Jews. Well, when God blesses us financially, He wants us to raise our standard of giving, not our standard of living. Remember, God is the one who seeks and saves the lost. The lost don't seek Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, there is no creature who understands God or any divine thing. There's no creature who seeks a relationship with God. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 sheep in the open pasture and go after the one sheep which is lost until he finds it? The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and His creatures are the sheep. What does the shepherd do for the sheep who are not seeking a relationship with Him? He goes after them. Your generosity creates the opportunity for Barah Ministries to provide the gift of the gospel message to the unbelievers God brings to this ministry. That's God's way of going after them. And we go after unbelievers on behalf of God as if God were entreating through us, because He is. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be deacon for Barah Ministries.
We're blessed.
Might
to
turn
have
it down just a touch. Seems a little hot. There you go. Thank you. I'm blessed to be a deacon at Barah Ministries because I understand that we can have joy even in pain.
Yes,
we
sir.
We can be happy in the trials of life even when they're tough. Yesterday, my daughter was playing in her final soccer game. I was hoping for a great game and they'd win and play maybe one of the smaller teams and not play the team with the yelling coach. Well, guess who they played? The team with the yelling coach. He yells so much, the other fan, the other families can't even cheer on their kids because he's just screaming from the sideline so much. And they've got a player, she's kind of a ball hog. And I'm sure she's probably just barely young enough to be on those teams. But she scored 4 goals and pretty much dominated the whole game, pushing and shoving and knocking people over and all this stuff. And Elle had some good shots on goal and actually had some good passing, which I was super proud. But in the end, the tall girl that was the ball hog, she actually got kicked and the ball went square in her face. And I hated to cheer, but I was actually cheering a little bit because it's just kind of like natural justice coming back at her. But, you know, in the end, we can consider it joy even when life feels like a tough game. Giving at the offering is like running laps during practice. It might stretch you, but it's building up your endurance and your faith muscles. And my daughter wasn't like as bothered by the game as I was. I was annoyed, and I finally calmed down about halfway through. Like, we can't stop this guy from yelling. We can't stop them from doing what they're doing. And the girls just had fun no matter what. But I had to shift my attitude more than the girls did. And so I was building up my endurance and my faith muscles there. And the trials of life are like practice drills. They're tough, but they prepare us for the real game. And trials and giving are part of that training. They remind us to trust God as a coach who always has a winning plan. God has a winning strategy. Sometimes the trials of life feel like a marathon and not the sprint that we want them to be. I don't know why I'm so emotional.
Because you're in a marathon.
Yep. I'm ready for the sprint. Yep, I'm getting to it. We want life's troubles to be a sprint and get through them quicker, but giving might seem like one more hill to climb. But every step brings us closer to the finish line where God's blessings await. And we have to remember to give today, even though some of the games we lose, but we've already won the championship. So thank you for giving, and thank you for playing a great season, Nobel. And I forgot the verse. James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, because we have victory in Christ. Amen.
Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us about acceptance. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us about acceptance. Well, thank you, Deacon Denny, for that great message. And I know that you're climbing the mountain. You know, Christianity is climbing Mount Everest. And there are a lot of base camps along the way, but that is a treacherous mountain. Generally speaking, if you're a mountain climber, my recommendation is that you don't climb any mountains that have a graveyard at the base. I think that's a message. And Mount Everest has a graveyard at the base because not a lot of people make it up that mountain. But the Christianity mountain, we all make it to the top. And there's going to be a day in your existence, Deacon Denny, when the challenge is what great thing you're going to enjoy today that the Lord is giving to you. But that isn't here all the time. You know, it will be here as you get older and older. You know, I'm starting to experience some of that now that I'm finishing up my 70th revolution around the planet. And life is just getting kind of easy. Or you learn how to get all the toxic relationships out of your life, and you just thank them for kicking your ass as you got to the point where you knew who it is you didn't want in your life, and you start surrounding yourself with the people that you really want in your life and the people you really care about. That's a fun time. And then you start doing the things in your life that you really want to do, which you should have been doing earlier. If life wasn't such a mountain climb. Well, the Lord's Supper celebration at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us about acceptance. Welcome to the Lord's Supper celebration, the most intimate expression of our deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in this celebration, by sharing his body and his blood with us, that the Lord reminds us of the unity all believers in Christ possessed. We were placed in unity with each other at the moment of salvation when we were baptized by God the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, on behalf of the Lord, as often as you eat this bread representing his body, and as often as you drink this cup representing his blood as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again at the second coming. Every month we celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember. We remember that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, dependent on him for our so great salvation. We remember that we are in union with Christ and that nothing can separate us from our union with him. We remember that the Lord loves us unconditionally. We remember that we are forgiven for every sin, past, present, and future. And we remember that we have the Lord's grace to help in times of need, especially when we make mistakes. The Lord's Supper celebration is often called communion, so it's our chance to commune with the Lord. The Lord's Supper celebration is sacred, so it's not something we take for granted. It's not something we do on the fly. So have bread and wine in front of you, and as we enjoy the elements, let's remember our dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, both for our physical and our spiritual sustenance. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we ask ourselves in reflection, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do for us at the cross? This month, we acknowledge that at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us acceptance. As he hung from a cross, here are a few of the words he said in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Unbelievers, Jews, crucified their Messiah at the cross. And his response to that was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, because he considered the cross to be the joy that was set before him. He considered the cross to be something that he wanted to do voluntarily. In omniscience, the God who knows all the knowable knew exactly what was going to happen to him when he came to the earth, and he went anyway. And while suffering the worst torture in human history, the Lord remembered to forget. That's acceptance. The Lord consented willingly to suffer for our sakes. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. That's what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he was crucified. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, the crucifixion on the cross and being at the wrong end of God the Father's wrath. Yet not my will, but your will be done. The Lord accepted his fate on our behalf by accepting God the Father's instructions. The Lord's work on the cross provides us with the lesson of acceptance. God the Father wants us to accept the peace we have through Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the continual action of the verse. In the past, in the present, and the future, we keep on having peace, which means God has nothing against us. God the Father wants us to accept the spiritual blessings we have through Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. For all of us who are in union with Christ, heavenly places, a place of permanence. God the Father wants us to accept his grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And through our union with Christ also, we believers in Christ have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who placed us into this sphere of grace in which we presently stand. And through our union with Christ also, we keep on exulting in the future hope of the glory of God the Father. That's the part of our salvation that is not complete, our glorification. When we close our eyes in this life, we will get a resurrection body that is recognizable to family and friends, and we can't wait for that moment. God the Father wants us to accept his unconditional love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. By this, the unconditional love of God was manifested in us believers in Christ, that is, made clearly visible, that God the Father has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live the resurrection life through our union with him. God the Father wants us to accept his forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 3. He forgives all your iniquities. How many?
All.
Most of all, God the Father wants us to accept his Son and the Lord's so great salvation. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God the Father did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We find it hard to accept generosity. God wants us to accept his peace, his spiritual blessings, his grace, his unconditional love, his forgiveness, his Son, and his so great salvation. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember the lessons the Lord taught us, we accept the lessons and we pass along to others the things he gifts to us. Well, let's enjoy the elements. Bread and wine. The Lord gave us these things to remember him. And we will enjoy the elements together in a few moments as we listen to the Lord's Supper song. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28, tell us the reason the Lord wants us to celebrate this meal together. So while the apostles were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you." Matthew 26, 27. And when Jesus finished supper, he took a cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood, the blood of a new covenant, the blood of the New Testament. My blood poured out for whosoever, for the forgiveness of sins." Well, we celebrate to remember that Jesus Christ's blood paid for our sins, that Jesus Christ died as our sin substitute, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead to prove his deity, that Jesus Christ saved us from the wrath of God the Father, that Jesus Christ will come again in glory to gather us to himself. As believers in Christ, we are gifted that his work on the cross gives us hope, the assurance of an amazing future. So enjoy the elements as we listen to Israel Houghton and the New Breed sing, "I Am Accepted."
It's your goodness that leads us to repentance. It's your kindness that leads us to your heart. It's your grace that gives us a place at your table. Without apology, when you invite me, I'll sit down. I've fallen before, and I believed it rendered you unable. Suddenly, unable to be omnipotent, omnipresent, but there you were. I fell down at your feet. You were always there, and you offered me a seat. You offered me a seat. Table, and you told me who I was. You told me who I was. You gave me a seat, and you told me who I was. I am loved by you, loved by you. I'm a seat at the table. I know who I am. I know who I am. I have a seat at the table. I know who I am. Who I am, he said. Hope.
hope and a future. I know who I am. I know who I am. I have a hope and a future. I know who I am. I know who I am. We say, I have a hope and a future.
pretty fascinating thought that one day that you're going to be laying around somewhere and the Lord's going to come down and reach out his hand for you and say, hey, you, come with me. That's pretty exciting. And he's going to give you a seat at the table, and that table is going to be the wedding feast of the groom, and you're the bride. It's an amazing thought. Well, the next 10 minutes could be the 10 most important minutes of your life. You'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend all eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you, and what he wants for you is that you make the most important decision of your life. Well, when food manufacturers noticed your fast-paced mobile lifestyle, they created instant food. Instant coffee, instant oatmeal, instant potatoes, and instant gravy were among their initial culinary creations, and most of them were absolutely awful. They're still around today, and they're still awful. This message is for you if you want an instant relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may be wondering what's going to happen to you the instant you close your eyes in this life. There's an instant answer to your curiosity. And the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees that in an instant, you can become a child of God. You may not know your unfortunate circumstance at the moment of your physical birth. It's called spiritual death. You were born physically alive and spiritually dead as an ungodly, unrighteous unbeliever. It's not your fault, but it is your circumstance. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says this, all in union with Adam at physical birth, and that is every human being who comes to earth, are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. Because Adam was appointed by God as the federal head of the human race, his first sin was credited to the account of all human creatures, resulting in spiritual death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man Adam's sin entered into the world and spiritual death entered the world through his sin, so spiritual death spread to all men, because all men were considered by God to have sinned when Adam sinned. In addition, just so you don't have Adam to blame, you commit personal sins. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Adam's sin credited to you plus your personal sins create an insurmountable barrier between you and God. Despite this unfortunate circumstance, there's good news from God that instantly frees you from the negative effects of sin, from spiritual death, and from the kingdom of darkness into which you were born. You're invited to be born again, the spiritual birth, into a spiritual life in God's kingdom of light where sin is no longer sovereign over you. The Lord Jesus Christ offers you a so great salvation, and it is his will that you accept the free gift he made possible for you at the cross. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. Instead, he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but wishing for all unbelievers to come to a repentance, which is a voluntary change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you end up in the lake of fire the instant after your physical death, it will not be because the Lord wants you there. It will be your choice. So how can you get to heaven in an instant when you close your eyes in this life? By obeying God's plan for your salvation. Right where you sit right now, you can be saved in an instant. You can tell God the Father that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the instant of eternal life for you. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believe. To believe means to accept God's word for what it takes to be saved. God says the one way, the only way to get to heaven is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the gospel message and the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me. Who is this God who saves you? The Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I, the Apostle Paul, delivered to you as of primary importance the gospel message I also received directly from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead proved that he is deity and thus qualified to save you. Believing in Jesus Christ is your acknowledgement that you can't do a thing to get to heaven on your own. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't good deed your way into heaven. You can't be a good person and get to heaven. You can only get to heaven by accepting the instant gift of salvation from a God who loves you so unconditionally that he sent his son to die for you on a cross to pay your way into heaven. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this: God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unrighteous, ungodly, unbelievers, Christ died a sacrificial death for us. God has an enemy, Satan, who deceives the whole world, including you, with a strategy to exploit human beings: religion. The religions of the world deceive you into thinking that you can work your way to heaven, that you can work to please God. No religious ritual has ever been good enough to get you into heaven. It's wise to let God save you, because once God does something, he never changes his mind. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You can't lose your salvation. If anyone says you can, they're lying to you. There's no reason to be uncertain about what happens at the moment of your physical death. So accept the invitation and heed the warning of John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment, in an instant. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. When you reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it clear there is a consequence. Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 to 42. Just as tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, will send forth his elect angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, those are unbelievers, and those who practice lawlessness, that's unbelievers. Matthew 13, 42. And the elect angels will throw unbelievers into the furnace of fire, the lake of fire. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Matthew 13, 43. Then the righteous, believers in Christ, will shine forth as the sun shines in the kingdom of their God and Father. So what's your choice? Are you for or against Christ? A relationship with the Lord does not require blind faith. In fact, there is no such thing as blind faith. For the wise, faith is invested after an examination. You have faith as a gift from God, and you can place your confidence in the object of your faith. To place your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and to let him save you is a delicious move. You can reject a relationship with Christ, or you can make an instant choice for Christ, and the result, your salvation, stands finished forever. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, he who has ears, let him really hear these things that God the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Some instant things are quite tasty. Take a moment right now to to wrap your mind around the only instant thing that lasts forever, a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I wrote that gospel message for a friend of mine, and I sent it to him, and he's an unbeliever, and he is a dyed-in-the-wool unbeliever, so he's pretty committed to being an unbeliever. He says to me that when he figures out that he is on his way out, that what he's going to do is he's going to go to, my tie's all over the place, where is it, what the heck, pull it to my left, aha. He said that when he figures out that he's ready to die, he's going to go somewhere in, I don't know whether he said Washington or where he said somewhere overseas, but he's going to go over there and take a pill. And so when he told me that, I wrote this gospel message for him. And every time I see him, he just stares at me. It's the coolest thing ever. He just stares at me like he's looking into the depths of my soul, and he can't figure it out. He can't figure out, how does this guy, a Christian and a pastor, but he comes to football games and has fun? Oh, my God. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy what unbelievers think. Well, let's close with music. The God who accepts us just as we are is masterful at forgetting. Here's Red Worship, encouraging us to emulate our God with the song, Forgive and Forget.
You are so faithful, even when I don't deserve it, you are so faithful. Yes, Lord. I've done everything to make you turn away. I'm indebted to your goodness. I don't deserve your love, but you took everything and you threw it all away. I know this is forgiveness. This is the story of how my sins are sinking.
See?
Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for reminding us to be alert to the opportunities you give us to evangelize, especially to our Jewish friends. Thank you for choosing them and the nation Israel as your favorites. And thank you for including us in your plan of salvation, making the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and breaking down the barrier of the dividing wall. Grant us divine appointments so we can be of assistance to God the Holy Spirit in the work of salvation. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget to listen to the announcements. Make it a habit. They're posted separately. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. We'll be discussing the lesson and having prayer circle immediately following the lesson today, about 5 minutes after. So join us for that if you would. Got biblical questions, ask the pastor, pastor@barahministries.com. Want us to pray for someone, send your requests to pastor@barahministries.com. Make it a habit to study the Word of God every day. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.